like, you know, I enjoy what I enjoy is the reviews for the movies. Like that to me is like, you know, where I get my enjoyment when someone says, like, I just posted something today where this lady was like, oh, Black men don't cheat. It has such a strong message. And that's what I want people to take away from the movies. I don't want to just, I don't want to, you know, I want to entertain you, of course, but I want, there's always philosophical conflict in all of my films. And I love when people get that, because a lot of times people will watch it and make comments and I'm like, Did you watch the movie?
Right.
But you know, but I get those comments where I can tell that someone understood what I was trying to say in the movie.
I love it. So let's talk about it. Black Men Don't Cheat, out now. One of the hottest movies on Tubi. For you, what was kind of the... Did he not cheat on you? Did he cheat on you? Like, where did it come from?
Okay, I'll tell you where it came from. Well, I think it was me, Johnny, and A-Rod. We were driving to Youngstown, and we were coming up with, like, titles. And, you know, because, I mean, I don't want to say that... Well, I will say that Tubi is kind of clickbaity. So, like, if you have an interesting title, that will draw people to your movie because they're like, oh, what is this? You know, like, and we learned that quickly because we learned that by studying the titles and what makes it into most popular. And if you have a boring title or you have a title that no, you know, like, it matters. And with that audience, the title matters. So... I think Johnny was the one that said, what about Black Men Don't Cheat? And I was like, and like, as soon as he said it, it's something like what clicked in my mind was I'm a big murder show watcher. I like the ID channel. I love my Datelines, my 48 hours. And I had seen a story that like, and like when I watch those Snapped, all of those type of things, when I watch it, you know, I'm watching it to steal from it. Because like there'd be some good stealable stories on there. So as soon as he said it, it reminded me of a story that I'd seen about a doctor. I think his name was Jean-Claude Baptiste or something like that. And he was in New York and he was really popular, really, he was Haitian and he was a really big guy in his community and, you know, really successful. He had this beautiful, like, young wife, and then somebody killed him. And so when the wife went to the lawyer to sell the estate, another wife shows up that he had in like Long Island. And they lived in like the Bronx or something. And so
you
now,
can do that in New York.
Yeah. So
you
now these two women are going at it to try to figure out who is the rightful wife of this man.
Wow.
And then in the meantime, in between time, he had a brother who thought that, because he did a lot for the Haitian community, and he had businesses and all this stuff. And the brother thought that all the businesses and stuff that he was doing was going to come to him. But everything went to that young wife. So then the brother plots to kill the young wife.
Wow.
And everything that happened in Black Men Don't Cheat, really, like, he hired some young dudes to kill her, and they were not killers. They were just some dudes he knew, and they didn't have no aim. So when they went to try to kill the woman, they shot at around her a whole bunch of times, but only ended up like grazing her.
What?
So she doesn't die, she lives. And that's, and like, cause a lot of people were making comments like, that was so dumb. That's literally the story. Like, I literally stole this from that. So, you know, I just took it and added my own little oomph to it. But that was how the story, and I thought that was, you know, the interesting part to me, because it was just like a human story. Like,
yeah.
And so I thought that title and that story made
sense.
And
the ending
is
crazy, y'all. Y'all gotta go watch Black Men Don't. The ending is literally like, what the fuck?
Yeah, so that's where that came from, y'all. That was not bad writing. It was the true story. Like, they hired somebody, you know, shout out to Diamond Huncho, who can't shoot.
Can't shoot for
shit. Don't have no aim. And missed a whole bunch of times, so.
I love it. Now, to end this out, we gotta talk about the one you just seen that happens to have my face in it.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's coming soon, y'all. Everybody keep asking me what this doing this date is. They got to get to the distributor first.
We'll know it. We'll know a date.
But Boarding House. I read the script for the first time and was like, this is an interesting story, but I love it. Immediately fell in love with, especially Dejanay's character and how strong she is as a woman. But I fell in love with Matt because he really loved Evie. Like,
he's a good boy. So all those people who say I don't write about good men, I watch his character. He's a good man, Savannah. He's a good man.
That was specific. But I also understood the character after I started to play the character and why he was who he was. So, not to give anything away about my character, because y'all gotta watch this goddamn movie.
Gotta watch it.
But for that, the movie Boarding House, kind of what was the inspiration? Where did this come from?
Again, another stolen concept from a TV show. I had watched, it was like an episode of, I think it was Snapped, and it was about a, now, I, you know, when I you know, steal from these shows, I don't steal the whole everything, but there was just certain elements of the story that I say I could put this into a plot. So the story was about an older lady, and she was, it was about an older lady who had a boarding house, and she was like, you know, moving people in and like killing them and collecting insurance money on them. And she did, she had a son and, or a daughter, a son and a daughter, I believe, in that story, in the real story, she had a son and a daughter. And they were kind of like helping. And they had killed this lady, and the lady had like a baby. And like, it was just an interesting story because I watched it and I said, I could do that. Like, so as soon as I watched it, I called Johnny and I said, I just saw like a episode of Snapped and I think I could turn it into a script. Johnny says, okay, let's do it. So I wrote it and I sent it to him. This was like, probably over a year or something, 2 years ago. Wow. And now he's in it.
So you've seen the first draft, and we're going to leave it off on a cliff note. How? Where do I want to go with this? What scene should people really look out for in this movie? That's going to be like, wow.
I think the scene that's going to be like, wow, to people that people are, I just seen it. So there's going to be a couple of scenes where people are going to be like, wow. And one of those scenes are when, our main protagonist, Dejanay, tries to, you know, her boyfriend is really sick. So she runs out. She's trying to run out the house to get help for him. And things start happening. And like, people are going to watch that and go, oh my God. Because, and then there's another scene where people are going to watch it and go completely crazy. I can't even spoil it. That'll spoil the movie. But when they see it, they're going to be like,
spoil the movie real quick. I'm going to cut it out and I might use it later.
Okay. The scene where we see our two antagonists, which are played by Hakeem and Brittany, when we see them together finally and what the true nature of the relationship is. When people see that scene, they're going to go, because the way that Dave cut it, like, you will have no idea that they are who, you know, their right. real relationship until that, and that scene is not until like the third act of the movie. So when people see that, because they're gonna be like, because they played those parts so well, but then, you know, and Brittany, shout out to Brittany, man, because she's just, she understood Rhonda exactly. Because, you know, when Rhonda starts to be who she really is, she nails it. Like, you know, where she doesn't have to put on the act that she had put on. And, like, she's in that garage with Hakeem. And, like, yeah, I think this is the first time HWIC movie you see naked butt, too. And I'm not going to tell you whose butt you're going to see, but you're going to see some naked butt. I was like, yes, this is what I wanted.
Now this is what I wanted.
So, yeah.
Okay, so we're going to leave that on that. And if y'all get that, y'all get that. I just want to thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
There's this one more thing you got to do before you leave. It's called Get It Off Your Chest.
Okay.
And I want to talk to the writer, because I see a lot of young writers coming up right now and they're trying to get scripts. But I also see them get very, very discouraged when people aren't taking to it immediately, or they start a started and they get all this momentum and then it crashes and burns. Mm-hmm. So talk to the writer that's just getting started. Like, how do they keep going and fight through adversity?
If you're a writer who's just getting started, you have to, first of all, have some thick skin, because there will be people and instances where you will be rejected and people will tell you you're horrible and don't ever do this, because this happened to me multiple times and it never stopped me. Yeah. I just said, okay, it wasn't for them, but let me do this. And I would say for a writer, you know, start small. Don't try to, you know, a lot of times when people are starting, you know, writing, they want to be so different and they want to be so this and that and this, and they want to write Star Wars and they want to write, you know, this big magnum opus. But that's going to be very hard to sell. That's going to be very hard to get people to be behind. So start with just a simple story, a meet cute, if you want to do like a comedy, you know, two people who are not supposed to be together meet and they have obstacles and then they end up like just something really small, or, you know, a thriller, like a killing people, like something that just people will be able to, you know, get behind. And mm-hmm. don't put a whole bunch of characters in it. Don't have 10 million locations. The smaller, the better. And then once you get that, now I'm not saying that I'm not discouraging anybody in their writing, because if you're somebody who only writes epic fantasies, okay, go have it. But if you're somebody who wants to get into this business and needs to get that first door open, I would always say start. So you can always do your Star Wars or your epic fantasy, you know, trilogy or whatever. But when you walk in and you have this script that's doable, you know, have a script that's filmable. Don't have something where the characters end up at John Hopkins Airport and have to hijack a plane and all this like crazy big ideas everybody has when they first start writing. Like, write something about two people in a boarding house that have to get out, and because somebody trying to just something filmable, something that you can do. And even if you do a short, you know, and nowadays it's readily available. Cameras are a lot cheaper, lights, everything. Film it yourself, you know, start doing things, start being present, start going to these networking events, go out, meet people, and start developing a team. That's a big thing. Don't think that this is something that you do just by yourself, because you will be, and I know people who think that they, you know, they hate people, they don't trust people, so everything is in, like, that's the quickest way to get back to Amazon. Wow. You know, like, you
that's
know,
real,
like, because you need a team, you need to develop relationships, and you need to know people that do things that you don't, because I know everybody thinks that they are just great at everything, but realistically, I think that you should, in film, you should hone in on one or two things that you are really good at and let somebody else edit. Let somebody else be the cinematographer. Let somebody else be the writer. Let somebody else, because everybody, you're not good at all that. You can't be good, you know, what did I say? Jack of all trades, right. Master of none. Yeah. So you can't be good at everything. Find what you're good at. And if you know you want to write, do that, and then find people who want to direct. Find people who want, or maybe you want to write and direct. Find people who want to be a cinematographer, a cameraman, who want to come on and produce. Find that team, because you're going to need it.
100%.
And she said, I just had a meeting with this guy named Johnny, and he's looking for a writer. And I said, and she said, do you mind if I give him your number? And I said, all right, give him my number. Let's see what's happening. Mind you, this is like probably after my third project that never came to fruition that I worked on. And so I talked to Johnny. We immediately hit it off. I was like, okay, this dude, he know what he's talking about. He's smart.
In the end, we only have ourselves to blame for falling so deeply in love. You have the perfect life. Adorable baby, amazing husband.
I didn't think I had to tell you about this, but my girl, my family, bro.
She's about to get all the money. That's $2 million in cash.
Because in the end, it's love that we can't cheat.
We'll be right back. And I never saw that coming. Yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
And we're back. It's the King TV Network. We are here live.
No.
And yes, we're going to get this thing started because we got the one and only Miss Jillian Holt in the building.
I'm talking to myself. Yeah.
You should, because you've just been killing the game. And I'm not even going to act like I know every single movie you've done, mm-hmm. but I know a few, goddammit. Okay, okay. And a few you done did.
All right.
Woo! Right? So, take us, first off, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. This okay. is the first time, even though we've been talking about just everything for so long now, I feel mm-hmm. like, that is just, it really warms my heart that this is happening right now.
I know. I should have been on this show.
But you also saw the movie that you wrote that I'm in for the first time.
I did.
So it's it. Perfect.
I know.
It's so perfect.
I know.
But yeah, she should have been on here. Okay, so tell them where they can find you first.
You can find me on social media at SoShebanky on pretty much everything. Of course, my name, except Facebook, I think it's just my name, Jillian Holt, but SoShebanky Productions also has a Facebook page. So yeah, that's my handle on everything to keep it very simple, very findable, very Googleable. You can Google my name and find all my stuff.
Okay, so all this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
This writer that just writes her ass off. Where did this come? Who did this person? Where did this come from?
I don't know. No, I did not aspire when I was younger to be a writer. I actually, when I graduated high school, went right to college to be a teacher. So I was a teacher for many years in different aspects, from being a paraprofessional to being a substitute teacher, like all of it. Mm. And I worked with kids. I did like day camps and residential treatment. So, you know, all of my early career life was in education or with children. And then one day when I was not a young person, I had been doing that for many, many years. I had picked up a book in a store, and it was called Screenwriting for Dummies. It was like $6. And I was like, take this book home. I mean, it was $6. So I went home, I read it, and I was like, oh my gosh, like this is so interesting. I love this. I'm gonna try it. So I wrote a short movie. Oh. And then, you know, I just was just so intrigued, I went out and bought like 8 more screenwriting books. And then I started writing directing books and cinematography. And I'm like, I need to know everything I need to know about film. Yeah. And, you know, you can read and research on your own, but I, at heart, am an academic. So I went back and got a bachelor's in film and digital media from Cleveland State. And, the rest is history. I started, one of the places I was working at, I had a very good friend working there named James Swoop. Mm-hmm. And even though I had a degree in film, I didn't do anything with it. It was like, you know, you get a degree and you're in Cleveland in film, like, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no playbook. There's no company that you can just go apply for, like if you were a teacher or a nurse. Like, you know, you have it, and then you got to make that stuff happen yourself.
Right.
So my friend James Swoop said, you know, I heard you had a degree in film. You want to make a web series? And I was like, hell yeah.
So that was your first?
That was my first, besides like what I did for film school.
Right.
That was my first gander into filmmaking.
Which was, what was it called?
It's called Langston Tributes.
Okay.
It is on
TV.
We did that back in like 2000. We started in 2016 and it came out in 2017. And yeah, 6 episodes, 0 budget. Some of the most talented local actors. Shout out to all of them. If I don't want to start naming them because I'm going to miss people and people are going to be like, oh, she don't like me.
You got a lot of movies and series to get through. So
yeah,
don't do that now. It's real early.
But shout out to everybody involved in Langston Tributes because that was my first, you know, the first time that I actually wrote and produced my own stuff, and with the help of James Swoop and Sasha Sales, shout out to Sasha, 7 Nation Films, we did it. And yeah, 0 budget, really no real nobody helping us. It was just three people who got together and said, let's do this.
Wonder where they do that. I wonder where they do that. It's time that you pay me back.
And the rest is history.
Well, we're going to talk about the history. So after this, do you kind of get the bug of I wanted to produce and write more?
Yeah. Or? Yeah. After that, like, you know, after that, let me see. The next thing I did was I produced a movie with Barry Good Films. Shout out to Brian Barry, called Hey, Mr. Postman.
Really? So yeah. That was the next move.
That was the next thing I did was...
Classic, Cleveland classic on Tubi now. Go catch that right now.
Yes. So, and then what I do after that? And then, like, after...
Hold on. You ain't going to jump. You ain't going to jump.
You know,
I'm going to
start.
We're going to stop there, right?
Okay.
So, Hey, Mr. Postman, Barry Good Films.
Mm-hmm.
Very prevalent right now to this day, and y'all still have a relationship. Talk about meeting Barry Good and meeting some of these relationships and kind of developing once you dive in after buying this book for $6. Like, you start meeting these people and getting these relationships. Like, how is that?
Well, I met Brian through a person, and he didn't really, this was his first two, like his first time in film, and he had sent me the script. So I read Hey, Mr. Postman, like the first draft of it. And, you know, I kind of gave him some pointers. And then it wasn't until like a couple years later that Brian hit me up and was like, you know, I got money. I'm ready to make this movie. And I'm like, all right, let's do it.
Yeah.
And we, you know, started the process, the pre-production process of Hey, Mr. Postman. So, you know, it started with that phone call. But I had probably read that script maybe 2 years before that phone call.
Whoa.
So this was not like the script handed to somebody, we filmed it. It took, you know, it was various variations of the script that had to be written, and then he had to, you know, he's an independent film producer, mm-hmm. so he had to procure the funds,
mm-hmm.
which is not easy. Mm-hmm. So, but after he did that, we made the movie.
That's amazing. And were you confident going into Hey, Mr. Postman as a writer, producer?
Yeah, I think I was. Like, I had, this was after Langston Tributes.
Mm-hmm.
So that was when I, you know, got my feet wet, like doing the actual filming, and, you know, and I knew what we needed because of some of the mistakes that I made on Langston Tributes. Like, it wasn't the cake. We didn't just do it and everything just magically happened.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of things that happened that was like, all right, mistake, but we still got through it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got into Postman, I knew, you know, some of the things that we shouldn't do because of how that messed us up on Langston Tribute. So
now, because you're used to it now, so it's like, oh yeah, I'm a riot, it's not gonna happen for another 2 years. But at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
how hard was it to stay patient on projects to come to fruition?
It's you know, you have to
begin it.
Yeah, like you have to be patient. Like, yeah, like it's not a quick thing. You know, I know a lot of people are nowadays, now with everything that's been happening, it's been happening a little faster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I knew that it takes a while to make a movie. Like, you know, normally, like, there are, like, horror stories of scripts that don't get made for 25 years.
What?
You know, like, there are movies that you probably never knew that script was written in 1985 and they just now filming it. So, you know, that's something that you learn when you're in like film school. So, you know, I never suspected, you know, the movies to happen even as fast as they're happening for me now. That was never something that I thought was just going to naturally happen. I knew that it was going to take a while, and it generally takes a while to get a film from the page to the screen. It's usually a process.
So how much did going to school and getting that bachelor's degree help your mentality in the film world to this day?
Well, I think that, you know, and I'm also a film professor, so, you know, I don't want to discourage anybody from going to school. You know, like, I think that school and academia is important, and it's important to learn your craft. Mm-hmm. Going to school definitely helped me when going into independent film production, because I knew basically everything. And a lot of times people will jump into it and not really have the full scope of what they need. So, like, I knew what a grip was. I knew what a gaffer, I knew, you know, how to mark. I knew all this stuff that you learn in film school, you know, you learn editing, and you learn, like, all of that type of stuff that, you know, and nobody wants to be everything on set. You know, I don't aspire to have my name on every credit. Like, I think that's a nightmare, actually. But I know, you know, certain aspects of what it takes. Like, I know what a cinematographer looks, I know what a first AC does, I know what, you know, an AD does, and how important to have an assistant director is, where a lot of these people, they don't get that. So, like, that's what, to me, that's what helps.
So understanding the grand scope of the project.
Yeah, and helps. The connections. You know, you make a lot of connections when you go to film school.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are people that I can still call to this day that I went to school with, and I graduated in, like, 2012.
Wow.
So, you know, like,
that's
that
beautiful.
You know, that aspect, too, so.
All right, so let's get back to the story. Mm-hmm. Hey, Mr. Postman comes out. Mm-hmm. Get that one done. What kind of happens next?
Then I got a phone call from one of my, well, I had worked on a couple of other, like, little independent projects that never saw the light of day here in Cleveland. I won't talk about. But in the meantime, in between time, I get a phone call from one of my actresses who I love that was in Langston Tributes. And she said, I just had a meeting with this guy named Johnny, and he's looking for a writer. And I said, and she said, do you mind if I give him your number? And I said, all right, give him my number. Let's see what's happening. Mind you, this is like probably after my third project that never came to fruition that I worked on. And so I talked to Johnny. We immediately hit it off. I was like, okay, this dude, he know what he's talking about. He's smart. Because I would get phone calls, you know, a lot from people. And I could tell immediately, y'all, I know when y'all know what y'all talking about. So when you call me and you start saying, like, ridiculous stuff, in my mind, I'd be like, okay, this is not a person who knows what they're talking about. Right. But Johnny absolutely did. So, so we started talking. I said, well, what kind of movie do you want? He said, I want an urban movie, but I don't want it to be about drug dealing, because that's, like, oversaturated. Everybody is doing the you know, the cocaine, the big dude, the big drug lord. But he still wanted it to be urban and crime related. And I said, well, what about scamming? Because I had known a scammer. And he was like, yeah.
Because I had known a scammer. Origin stories, people. You got to know where shit comes from.
So he was like, yeah, let's do a scamming story. So I sat down, really, and I think I'm not even, and this is not to,
no,
you
talk
know.
Talk shit.
No, like, I sat down, like, probably the next week, and it didn't even take me. I think I wrote Scam Likely in like 2 days.
The number one movie of 2023.
He said it, not me.
And 2022, Scam Likely was less than a week.
Yeah.
Big dog.
I sent it to Johnny, and I said, I personally don't like this movie, but I think the people will like it. And it's not the best, but I think it checks all the boxes of what. Because then I started studying Tubi. Like, at the same time, I started studying Tubi and the audience.
That's a whole big
conversation
right there.
And what they want. Like, you know, you got to give the people what they want. So
now, when you say studying Tubi, I heard some stories. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by you study Tubi?
I look at every week. I look at their, because Tubi will put out, like, their most popular in every category. So I look at those movies, you know, not necessarily the studio pictures, because I know if they put Baby Boy on Tubi, it's going to be most popular, you know. So, like, I'm looking at the independent films that make it to most popular, because a lot of times They don't, you put that movie out, it has no motion, it doesn't do anything. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at the ones that are, you know, making the list. And then I'm also looking at the comments that people are making. I'm in every single Tubi group that you could possibly be on Facebook. I'm literally reading all of these comments that the people, good, bad, you know, I'm seeing which films are people are liking, which ones they're hating, mm-hmm. which one have, you know, has both. Because there are a lot of times, you know, film is subjective, so somebody will be like, that was my favorite movie of all time, and then somebody else will be like, this was trash, it was garbage, everybody involved, go jump off a bridge. So you get that kind of juxtaposition of critique, if you will. So, you know, and I pay attention to all that, and I knew, like, okay, so one thing that me and Johnny talked about was, okay, they like a female protagonist, which is the main character. Like, that's a big thing, and they like, you know, and they like, you know, some type of crime. So, like, we went and we checked off all the boxes of what they wanted, and that's how Scam Likely was born.
It seems like it just happened, but that was, like, it's going on. Originally, when you started writing it, what year was it? Was it in the pandemic?
No, I want to say it was 2021.
Okay. So, all of this kind of, like, movement of you going back to back to back kind of all started in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're in 2024. And we kind of can't go a couple months without seeing something written by the Miss Jillian Holt. So how does that feel before we get into the which movies and what? How does that feel going from 2021 to now and really solidifying yourself as, like, one of the number one writers in Cleveland and the one who can produce it very quickly?
I mean, I just, you know, it did. It's just the ball started rolling. And because I had studied writing, like, I don't want anybody to think that, you know, that everybody could, you should be able to write a script very fast, just like that. You know, I had been writing before I had started, you know, my film journey back in, like, 2009.
Mm-hmm.
So I had been writing since 2009, okay?
Wow. Get that, people, though. Get so, that. Like, understand that.
Like, that wasn't, you know, me picking up a book and then the next day I was writing a full feature in an hour. Like,
so
no, this
years.
Was, I had been writing for years before this. I had been studying film. I had been studying screenwriting and story and development and everything. Like, so now it comes very easy and quick to me, but this, it was a process. So now it's just like something I do. It's like, I don't even think about it that much. I don't even think about it in terms of, oh, this is quick, or, oh, you doing, cause it's just, you know, it's embedded in me now.
Can somebody just tell me what the hell is happening?
Oh, we don't know. We're all just waking up.
Is there anything you know? Like, do you remember anything?
I think I was kidnapped.
Where is Locke? Locke? Oh, you mean my husband?
Hold up, hold up. You better stop right there before you say some shit you're gonna regret. Regret?
She getting real.
So we have Scam Likely.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we all know what that did.
Mm-hmm.
But the relationship between you, Johnny, David, and just the whole HWIC, does that, like, lock it in completely? Or was it already locked in prior? Like, this was your first kind of, like, y'all just took it all the way. So it's like it kind of just naturally just started to continue. But did you, for you, did you know after the success Scam Likely that you were going to be working with HWIC so consistently?
Yeah. Like, I mean, because it just made sense. Like, you know, we all get each other. Like, Dave is amazing. Like, yes. There's not too many people that I, you know, have worked with that I necessarily trust in terms of storytelling and how to bring a story. Because a lot of people have got into this business and have no idea, no clue, have done no homework, studying or anything. But if you know the story of HWIC, you'll know that Dave and Johnny have been at this for over 20-something years at this point. So, like, if I send a script to Dave, and Dave will send me notes, they're always perfect. They're always like, yeah, you're right. We should do that. And like, that's probably one of the only people that I trust in that aspect, because a lot of times I'll write a script for somebody and they'll just want to note me to death just to have a note, just so they can have a say. And they want changes that don't necessarily help the plot or advance the script. They just want to change something just to change it. Gotcha. But HWIC does not do that. Like, Johnny doesn't care about that type of stuff. Dave is not trying to get his name on the script. They just want to make the best movie.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to do. I want to make the best movie that the people want to watch.
Yep.
So that's all I care about.
So we go from Scam Likely to Locked In. Is that the next HWIC movie that you give them?
I think, that was the next after Scam Likely, we did Locked In.
Now, is that the one you give them or is that the one that they pick? Because you start writing, you tell me the one I'll shoot is 14 behind the one you want now. So where are you at in your writing process between Scam Likely and Locked In, the back-to-back number one movies? In both years, them two.
I'm trying to think. I want to say in between. Was that in between or after we did Locked In? I think I might have did another movie with Barry Cook Films called Workout Partners.
Yes, that was so, in between.
Yeah. Okay. So then we go back and we do Locked In. But I, like, right now, I don't want to say secrets, but HWIC is gearing up for a film that they're about to shoot this summer, or maybe before the summer, that I wrote, I want to say, after Scam Likely.
Really?
And I don't want to give too much
away.
Is this
the one Johnny been talking about?
Yeah, but it's a horror movie, y'all. And I worked that after Scam Likely, so that had to be like 2021 or something. So they've had that script in the vault for about 2-3 years, and they're just going into production with it. So
it goes like that sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it goes like that. Like, I've written a lot of scripts.
So when did they know Locked In was the one?
Because Locked In kind of came from, Dave had called me and said, Jill, I just saw this movie on Tubi and I feel like we could do it, but I want you to go watch it and I want you to turn it urban and, see what you can do with it. Mm-hmm. So I can't remember the name of the movie, y'all, cause I'm a little old, but the movie was about these, they were white guys and it was about 7 or 8 of them that wake up in this factory and nobody has a clue of what happened or how they got there. And some of them are tied up, some of them are shot, some of them are beat up, and they're trying to figure out what the hell happened. So the movie goes into flashbacks and they get to discover how they all ended up. I'm scared. I don't know who I should be looking at, him, you, I'm looking at everybody.
That's the camera, this is me.
Okay, but right. So they wake up and they have to figure out like who, what, where, when, why are we here? Why are you shot? Right. Why is he tied up? And so when I watched the movie, I said, oh yeah, I could do that. And I think I wrote Locked In a couple days and I sent it over to Dave and he said, perfect. We'll do this one next. So we did Locked In next.
That's so dope. And I don't want to skip past Workout Partners because that was an amazing script as well.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Barry Good Films. Kind of speak on that experience, maybe. Because you go to every set. You be on set.
I be on set.
The writer, please. Producer, me, please.
Yeah, I be on set.
What was the experience with Workout Partners and working with Barry Good Films?
So Workout Partners was also something that we had worked on for a year or so before we went into production.
Wow.
Brian kind of had an idea for a movie. He wrote a little bit, like a couple pages, well, maybe like 10, I can't remember how many pages he wrote. But we had hired some directors, some producers, and and wrote a, and then one of the hired directors had wrote a couple scripts, and it wasn't quite what Brian was looking for. So he ended up parting ways with those that production company. Mm. And I was like, well, let me write a version of the script, because I think I know what you're looking for. Because, you know, Brian, one of my close friends, I knew what he was looking for. And those scripts that the other director had wrote were pretty close, but I just needed to mash them together. Mm. So Workout Partners was not really necessarily my original idea, but it was two scripts and then some of Brian's and just everything mashed together, and to have a script. And once we had a script, we started to get investors and we started to cast and we made the movie. So, and I knew as soon, well, I will say with Workout Partners, as soon as Brian told me the concept, I knew who I wanted to put in the movie.
Wow.
I knew the two actors that I wanted to play the two main characters. So I knew how to write for them too, because I had written for them. They were in my web series. Shout out to B-Zach and Bank Shack.
Yeah. Be here today.
Anyway. Okay. so I knew that those were, that was Greedy and Dre. Like, I'm like, they would be perfect together. They work well together. They're hilarious. They're amazing actors. So I knew how to write for them. So, so that script was like handcrafted for them.
I love it. Okay. So we got some of the biggest movies and movie premieres of the past 3 years, for sure. And I had the opportunity to be a part of all of those three: Scam Likely, Workout Partners, and Locked In. Thank y'all for those, HWIC and Barry Good Films. We truly appreciate those opportunities. So moving in to after Locked In, where's your mindset at? Because people calling, you're driving with Giant to Detroit every other weekend. You are starting to lock in with major distributors, and really HWIC is taking that next level, that next level of step, and you're one of the core reasons. For you, what is your mindset at? Are you just full drive? What's going on?
Oh yeah, I mean, at that point, the train had left the station. So like, you know, everything that I was I write every single day.
Wow.
Every single day. No matter how I'm feeling, like when I leave here today, I have to go write.
Wow.
So like I do that every day. So I have to, because you got to stay ready. Like you can't just not do what you were supposed to do.
Yeah.
And writing is a craft and it has to be worked on, because some of the stuff I wrote earlier, I look at now and I'm like, oh my God, that's so horrible. But, you know, so you get better as you go. So, you know. I just stay ready for all phone calls and everything that's happening.
So you were ready for this big move, and it's hitting everything right now on Tubi. Number one, this, most popular. But you partner up with some Detroit, Mr. Tubi, and you write Black Men Don't Cheat. We don't. Explain the concept, and if they haven't seen it, go watch it now on Tubi. If they haven't seen it, go watch it now. Explain the concept and explain kind of why you felt that was the right one, the next one.
Okay, so I think this happened, you know, and John.
Scratch that, because I'm lying. It wasn't the next one. Airbnb was the next one.
Yeah, Airbnb.
So Airbnb was the next one. Black Men Don't Cheat is hot right now, y'all. Right now.
Yeah.
Do you see how many they've done in literally 3.5 years? Like, it's ridiculous. All right, let's go. Airbnb, right?
Okay, Airbnb.
Literally, Joe Pitts is probably one of my favorite characters. And my most hated character of all time. speak on Airbnb and the concept and why they should go watch that one too.
Okay, so Airbnb came about when I had saw a TikTok or Instagram video of this lady, and she had came back, she had rented her apartment out to some lady, and she had went to LA, came back. I think she was in Atlanta or Florida, and the lady refused to leave. And it was just like real funny because she's on the, she's like, don't ever do this. And look at this bitch, she's still here. And the lady is smoking cigarettes in the background like, yep, I show it. I'm not going nowhere. So it was just really, I mean, it was a true story, but it was just really funny. And then I had also watched on Netflix, what was it, something like Worst Neighbors Ever or Worst Roommate Ever, I think. And there was a story on there about this guy who would like move in with women and like basically make their lives a living hell. Now, he was really crazy in real life. But so I took those two stories and smushed them together, made them urban. When I told Johnny, like, you know, one thing I will say about Johnny is that I call him and I say, I got an idea, and he'll say, do it. You know, like he just like, okay, I like that. Let's do it. So when I saw those two stories and started brewing an idea in my mind, I said, I got this idea for a story about a guy who moves in and then refuses to move out, and he makes this the lady's life a living hell. Johnny said, let's do it. So then I wrote it. And I was writing it. And as I was writing it, I think he caught me and he said, I think I know who Joe Pitts is. I think it should be Habert.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I can write for Habert. You know, like, so I already had Habert in mind when I was writing Joe Pitts because I knew that.
Oh, hi. You must be Joe Pitts, right?
Yeah, that's me.
What's this? Okay, so I'm gonna be in Miami for a whole week, so I figured I can make some money here while I'm gone.
By turning your crib into a dewdrop inn?
Better hope he didn't make a spare house key.
Hey, babe.
Joe, what are you still doing here? What did you do to my house?
You like what I did with the place?
Joe had already printed off the contract,
right? I know.
Now, somehow he wrote that he's a long-term tenant and not short-term.
Like a roommate?
Good morning, Riley.
You're gonna have to go down to the courthouse and file an eviction.
What about